14 months after Californians comfortably passed Prop 64, the era of legal recreational marijuana is now. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton speaks with the San Francisco Chronicle's cannabis editor to tee up what could be a hot market in 2018. That conversation starts now.
Hello, and thanks for listening, and Happy New Year. Well, it was a Happy New Year for the fledgling California marijuana industry, but then, on day four of legal recreational pot in the Golden State, U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions says he is rescinding the Obama-era policy that had paved the way for legalized marijuana to flourish in states across the country. Sessions has assailed marijuana as comparable to heroin and has blamed it for spikes in violence. Both claims are patently false, of course, but Mr. Sessions seems to be nostalgic for a bygone, more ignorant era of discussion about marijuana's benefits. This week's show is an hour-long interview I did with David Downs. He's the Green State / Cannabis editor at the San Francisco Chronicle. We recorded before the Sessions announcement, but the content here is still very much valid. California has 270 pages of rules for would-be cannabis companies, so the will of Californian voters will be vigorously defended by the state against the feds. Here's part one of four of my chat about recreational marijuana in California and how 2018 is teed up for it.
David Downs, I'm the cannabis editor at the San Francisco Chronicle.
Yes, you are, Green State David Downs. Let's start at the beginning because we're coming off of some recent news. It's the end of the year, and on Thursday past, we had some regulations drop. Can you just make this a teachable moment and just tell me what happened on Thursday?
I don't know, a teachable moment.
It could be a teachable moment for them. This
ends up being what's called a teachable moment.
California state government released about 270 pages of rules that'll govern every aspect of the cannabis industry from seed to sale. And, you know, when it comes to regulations, most people's eyes glaze over and they go to bed and they don't think about them at all. But because it's cannabis, people are deeply interested in what exactly the legal market's going to look like. So, for example, these regulations contain tons of provisions around consumer safety and quality and labeling and testing. But they also contain a lot of onerous provisions for the business members around those same things: packaging, labeling, childproofing, how big of a farm you can have, how much fees you're going to pay, all that stuff.
There's a lot in that.
Yeah.
Why is it so late in the year to get those? I mean, we go live in January, right?
There's this saying that California is building the plane as it flies.
Yeah.
And it is under constitutional mandate from the voters when they passed Proposition 64. One of the lines in there said the state had to start issuing licenses on January 1st, 2018. Mm-hmm. The voters put a gun to the head of the legislators and the regulators to get this done because without that gun, they will dilly-dally, which is what we've seen in many, many other states, including states that voted on legalization at the same time as us, like Maine. They're all pushing off the implementation of this law because what the voters say versus what the regulators and the politicians want to do are often at cross purposes.
Let's talk about those regulators for a second. Alex Traverso is a name that came up in our pre-prep before this interview. You've talked with Alex, I'm sure, several times for stories. He's been on our show. He was going out on a listening tour to get facts and data. And how did that tour go as far as your opinion?
The tour was enormously successful. Regulators went up and down the state and held public comment periods and listened to all manner of concerns from all sectors of the industry.
Uh-huh.
So, for example, the delivery people have a lot of concerns about being able to do deliveries without a retail storefront.
Right.
Farms have a lot of concerns around water rights and being able to protect a small farm in the face of big agribusiness competition.
Yeah.
And retailers have a bunch of concerns about how they're interacting with the public and how they'll be allowed to interact. So, for example, right now we do a lot of deli-style retail.
Right, yeah.
Which is where you see the guy behind the counter reaching into a big old pound and weighing you out like a, you know, your own bag.
Right.
That's going away. It's all going to be prepackaged. What I've seen from the regulations is that these bureaucrats, for lack of a better word, have gotten up the learning curve on cannabis and studied intensely what the other four states have done. Excuse me, there's eight legalization states now, but they've studied what Colorado, Washington, and Oregon have done.
Uh-huh.
And then they've listened to what everything Californians have said to try to create something that mirrors what's happened in other states with a California flavor on it.
Okay, again, we're unpacking a whole bunch of stuff right here, David. Let's pick your brain. What's top of mind for you? Okay, we got the new regulations on Thursday. We have the gun to the head of the legislators from the voters. We have an industry that is a $22 billion cash crop somewhere around in there.
It's multiples and multiple billions for sure.
Okay, so this is not a small deal, and it's about to go live and licenses on January the 1st. What's the biggest stumbling block that you see? You've been covering this a long time.
I'm always thinking about my readers and the consumers, and what they want to know is where and when they can go buy their first legal sack of cannabis in California. And what they need to know is that it's going to be a very slow roll to full legalization in California, and it's going to start in perhaps less than 1% of the jurisdictions in the state, in places that are typically known to be progressive on cannabis, like Oakland, Santa Cruz, Berkeley.
Humboldt.
San Diego even has jumped to the head of the pack.
Really?
And is ready to do adult use sales on January 1 as well. That's versus places like Los Angeles and San Francisco, where politics and red tape has slowed down the process considerably. The other thing people want to know is how much is it going to cost and what's going to be available and how much can I buy? They can buy an ounce. It's probably going to cost more than if you bought it on the street. And you'll be able to get it slowly into 2018.
Has there been a trend when it comes to street sales in states that have legalization?
Consumers report they would pay a premium to walk into a licensed store, buy it in a safe place, and buy something where they know what they're buying and that it's safe and there's no pesticides in it. But the black market does exist, and legalization is not happening in a vacuum. So 8 states have legalized it, but the other 42 haven't. And there's people growing in those legalization states that are sending it out of the state like they've been doing for decades.
Right.
And are continuing to do so. They're providing cannabis for those markets that don't have it.
Right.
Chicago, New York, Atlanta.
Right. But they've been doing that under the careful and watchful eye of Attorney General Jeff Sessions recently.
You know, you bring up a good point, which is that up until legalization, interdicting interstate commerce was the domain of the federal government. And with legalization and states saying, we want to take a different path, the federal government has said, okay, then it's on you to control the outflows from your state.
Mm.
So we're seeing responsibility now being assigned to the states to keep cannabis in their states. That'll be one of the most salient dynamics over the next decade.
Yeah, no kidding.
And, you know, in California, 4 out of 5 of the pounds that we grow goes out of state. We are a massive exporter to the rest of America. We are the number one domestic producer of cannabis in America. And so those dollars are propping up a lot of our local economies. If we cut off the supply to the rest of the country, there's a question of how well we'll do in the interim.
Can I take a stab at what the number 2 state is? Kentucky.
Kentucky's up there.
Yes.
They've been doing hemp for a while,
right?
And they can grow. They have great growing conditions. Usually you're seeing Oregon and Washington and Colorado really pick up the bulk.
All right, cool. I watched Justified. I don't know if you saw that show.
Yeah.
I used to love
that
show.
They're growing hemp like mad in Kentucky again, and even Mitch McConnell's behind them, you know, spearheading the return of Kentucky hemp in Kentucky.
Kentucky hemp. And you know what? You know why hemp? Let's talk about this just for a second, because a history lesson. The reason hemp is so vilified was William Randolph Hearst around, 1915 or so, went basically on a crusade against it to sell newspapers, and that was it. And then since then, it's been vilified and, you know, made evil.
Yeah, it got picked up in a bunch of other cross-cultural currents around cannabis, marijuana, immigration, a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
And it's too bad because it is a very useful fuel, food, and fiber that we're currently buying from other countries.
Right. And it grows like weed, literally.
It grows incredibly well, and it's also a soil remediator, so it can pick up a lot of heavy metals or nasty things in the soil. And then you chop it down and carry that stuff away to a landfill somewhere.
Let's talk about soil remediation for the Bay Area. And let's tie it to your recent story about the Napa fires. How did those fires impact the marijuana industry that you can see? And what are the next steps?
The worst fires in California history laid waste to 2 of the biggest cannabis-rich growing regions of the state, Mendocino County and Sonoma County. Those counties got hit really hard. Hundreds of farms were lost. Hundreds of millions of dollars, potentially over $1 billion in crop loss did occur. And that which did not burn was often tainted by this smoke.
Mm.
And once you get this smoke in this delicate flower bud, it never comes out.
Mm.
And so the people who have this tainted cannabis now really don't know what to do with it. It not only did it lay waste to farms, it laid waste to warehouses, manufacturing facilities. A lot of these farmers were keeping a lot of their income on the property in cash because they couldn't put it in a bank.
Yeah.
And then they're not eligible for FEMA, Small Business Association loans, and they often didn't have any types of insurance. So it's been a mortal blow to a lot of small farmers in those regions, and it has given the entire state's cannabis crop this year a sort of a haircut.
Right.
And again, we're overproducing, so we're going to be able to absorb the losses. But for the people who are in those regions, the impact has been immense and the relief efforts are ongoing.
That was David Downs. David is the Green State / Cannabis Editor at the San Francisco Chronicle. California is on track to become the world's largest market for recreational marijuana, but the way forward has been made murkier by Attorney General Jeff Sessions deciding to rescind the Obama-era policy of state-level marijuana tolerance. Coming up after the break, we have the second segment of my discussion with David Downs about the state of marijuana in 2018. I'm Jason Middleton. This is Techonomics. Please come on back.